See, they worship something. You know, St. Augustine put it this way, "Thou, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they lean or learn to rest in you."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello again. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the New Testament book of Revelation. Today, Pastor concludes the message, "The Rest of Mankind." Now here's Pastor.
Every lost person on earth is in the hands of these swarming demons, okay? Now, right now, they're waiting. Right now, they are in Tartarus. Right now, they are in the bottomless pit, and that pit is locked. They're in prison. Now, let's look at the sixth trumpet judgment, verse 13. "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." Now, remember, that would be the altar of incense, okay, the prayers of the people, "and saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound or having been bound at the great river Euphrates." Nowhere in Scripture do we find God's holy angels ever being bound, okay? So we know that these four angels that are bound, they're bound because they are horribly, horribly wicked. And remember the number four, like there's four seasons, there's the four winds and so forth. Four is speaking of worldwide effect of the destruction that's going to come. Now, I want you to notice the location of their imprisonment, okay? Now, I don't know if they're there this minute or not. I have no idea, but they are there. Well, they're going to be released whenever they are there, okay? Now, remember the Euphrates, what, 1,800 miles long, begins all the way back in Turkey and flows through Syria and Iraq and so forth and empties out into the Persian Gulf. It's interesting that it's the Euphrates. Was that one of the rivers in the Garden of Eden? Well, so this area where they're bound is possibly the place where the first sin was committed, where the first lie happened, the devil. You follow me? That's where the Tower of Babel was built and all the rest of it. That's where the flood occurred, right in this area. It's just interesting there that it happened in that area. Now, with all that being said, it says here that so that the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year, meaning God had appointed them for the exact hour, the exact day, and the exact year, prepared for what? Were released to, not torment now, but were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, God's calendar is marked, isn't it? He knows what's going to happen. Remember in the fourth seal judgment, what was it, one quarter of all people died, remember? Now, it says one third of mankind is going to die. That means that this part of the tribulation, it means that over half of the world's population is dead. Half of the world. I mean, to think of that, we're 8 billion people, I think, on earth today. That would mean half of them had been gone. Can you imagine the stench all over the entire earth? Loved one, it's going to be a horrible time. In verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen, meaning the mounted troops, the horsemen, was 200 million. Now listen to what John does. I heard the number of them. Listen, what does that tell us? John says, I didn't count them. Why didn't he count them? He couldn't count them. Does that make sense? And so he says, I just heard it. There's 200 million of them. And when John, when he penned this prophecy right here, this future prophecy that we are reading, there were not even 200 million people on planet Earth. Think about that. And so some people, and maybe they're right, they identify verse 16 here that are just as, you know, a human army. If so, it would be the largest army ever assembled on planet Earth ever known to man, 200 million. Now, some people would probably remember back in Time magazine, remember 1965, when it said that China boasted a 200 million man army? I don't know about that. But that's what Time magazine said. I don't know. But here's the deal, guys. Some people say this is a human army, and it's from the east, and they start a war with Israel. Let me read the scripture in the Middle East there. Revelation 16:12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl, that's the bowl judgments, on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, I take Revelation 16:12 as a separate battle. That's the battle, of course, of Armageddon. Also, in our verse that we're covering here, verse 16, I don't see the kings of the east mentioned at all. So I don't know. But I do know this, the Euphrates is going to dry up. Think about that. Do you know that right now there are five dams that have been constructed on the Euphrates? And they divert water for irrigation all over the place. And when they do so, that you know that the river, believe it or not, the Euphrates can literally become almost dry because of that. And this one dam, let me read it to you. The Atatürk Dam, named after the first president of the Republic of Turkey, it says that it can reduce, that dam can reduce the water flow all the way to Syria and Iraq by 75%. So this one day, it looks like it's going to be so easy to do. But I believe that these are demons, Satan's demon army. And remember a moment ago when I read, what was it, Revelation 12:4, how many angels from heaven fell with Lucifer? A third of heaven. So I'm sure there's enough demons for that army. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. I want you to notice that he didn't say, John did not say like horses, okay? He called them literal horses. And now he describes the riders that's on those horses. He says, I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses, now he's going to describe it, well, they were like lions or heads of lions. In other words, they were ready to devour. And out of their mouth, look what came, fire, smoke, brimstone. Now, this is literal to me, okay? So, but no, I have never met a horse ever. You notice how I use an R when I say horse? Is that the correct way? Oh, good. Thank you. Somebody got on to me the other day and said, you use an R for wash, and you know, wash, not wash. I said, blame it on my sister. I don't know. So they're not normal, okay? Because if that comes out of a horse's mouth, I don't want to be around that horse, okay? By these three plagues, listen carefully, a third of mankind will be killed. And look how they're going to die. By the fire, the smoke, the brimstone which came out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. There are many great expositors of the Bible that I really respect, and they say this is a picture, if you will, of modern warfare. Maybe they're right. I don't think so. I think this is, they're demonic. I think this is literal, just as literal as Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone. Amen? Okay. Verse 20. Now, it says, and the rest of mankind, meaning the unbelievers, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, look at this word, did not repent of the works of their hands, meaning their idols, okay? That they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. You know, God's grace is so incredible. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, how he loves us. And you know, and it says that the rest of mankind, even though they would not repent, even though they knew now for sure that all these judgments were coming from God Almighty, the creator of all things, the one who sent his only begotten son to die for the sins of the world. They know all of these things, loved one. And I had to ask myself, why didn't they repent? Why didn't they turn to God? I mean, if Listen, look at the devastation that's on the planet at this point in the Great Tribulation period. The water is poisoned. The trees are all burned up. Man, I mean, there's destruction and death. Half of the world is gone. And I say, Lord, why will they not turn to you? Why will they worship demons? I mean, and why will they worship the idols of gold and brass and all the wood and the rest of it? I said, Lord, why is that? Well, I know why. You do too. Man has a big problem. Man has a huge problem. See, man has to worship something. There's no way around it. He has to worship. And you know why? You know why every man has to, and woman, all people have to worship something? It's because the way God created them. They have a guest that is alive. Every person has a guest that is alive in their heart, okay? Ecclesiastes 3:11, for God has placed eternity in our hearts. We know there's something else. We may not be saved, but we know what there's something out there. So, you know, I'm going to go worship a tree, or I'm going to worship this, or worship sports, or you're going to worship something. Matter of fact, what is mankind going to do? They're going to worship the creature more than the creator. That's where we are right now. See, they worship something. You know, St. Augustine put it this way. Thou, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they lean or learn to rest in you. Idols. Idols are with us even today. Idols are going to be in the Great Tribulation period. Idols cannot help anyone because they're made by man. let me read a psalm to you. Psalm 115, verse 4. Talking about the lost. Their idols are silver and gold. In other words, metal, stone, wood, whatever. The work of men's hands. Now listen to what the psalmist says. These idols, well, they have mouths, but they don't speak. Think about that. You carve out an idol and you put it in your home or in your pocket or on the dash of your car. And you put a little mouth there, but they can't promise you one thing. And then if you put it on your brakes, they fall over. You got to pick them back up. Oh, you okay? Did it hurt your mouth? No. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes. Eyes they have. Oh, they don't see. They don't see. An idol doesn't see anyone's need, anyone's pain. No, it says, and they have ears, but they do not hear. In other words, you can pray to an idol all you want, but an idol is not going to ever respond because they're dumb. They're dumb idols. Amen? Okay. And it says, oh, they have noses. But they do not spell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They can't help you. They have feet. They have, but they do not walk. You have a problem? They're not going to run from the house to you. They're idols. Now listen carefully. It says, they have feet. They do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. In other words, meditate, speak. Those who make them are like them. Those who make them are like them. You know what the root word for idol is? Worthless. That's what it means, worthless. So the worshipers become worthless because it says those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Everyone, it says, like them. Everyone is just whatever his God is. Does that make sense? Boy, how sad is that? So this is telling us that mankind is transformed into whatever he worships. But we are believers, amen? We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are being transformed into the same image of Christ Jesus. We're going from glory to glory to glory. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, amen? And so God is so good. And listen, behind, whether you know it or not, behind every then and today, behind every idol, no matter what it is, whatever takes the place of Jesus, behind every idol is a demon. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Paul says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, hey, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I don't want you to have koinonia or fellowship, intimacy with demons. What a word is that? Now look at verse 21, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. And they did not repent. I'm going to stop right there. Listen to me now. Let's say that we have right now, all of us, 20 relatives. Amen? 20 relatives. Now, we're saved, but your relatives are not saved, and we're raptured today. They enter into the Great Tribulation period. How would that make you feel? Because it says right there, and they're not saved, those who enter into the tribulation. It says, and they did not repent. Oh, God. They did not repent of their what? Murders. Do you know when I was growing up, and I don't want to sound like, you know, back in the good old days, but you know what? When I was growing up, to read of a murder or hear of a murder in Fort Worth was really very odd. Do you understand? It was odd. And we, you've heard me say a million times, back when we were growing up, we never even locked the house when we left on vacation. Matter of fact, we didn't even have a key. My sister would look, where's the key? I know we have a key someplace. You know, and I remember there when I did live with my mother and father, the key to our house, remember, you know what kind of key it was? You know what it was? Skeleton key. Remember? And a skeleton key would open every house in the neighborhood. It was a different world. I mean, just this morning, what was it there? Just this morning in downtown Austin, 3 people shot to death, 14 are wounded. It's over and over and over. If you look into Fort Worth Star-Telegram, you know, if you read that newspaper, it's Star-Telegram. I mean, it'll be all you shot. I mean, killed. It's just, it's horrible. Murder is just rampant. Then it's going to be rampant, and it's rampant now. So they did not repent of their murders. They did not repent of their sorceries. That's pharmakia in the Greek. We get our word pharmacy. I'm talking about drugs, but these are talking about drugs that people use for magic incantations and sorcery and all of that, okay? And it says, and they didn't repent of that. They didn't repent of their sexual immorality. The pornea in the Greek, it means all kinds of sexual sin. We get our word pornography from that. And they did not repent of their thefts. Wow, their thefts. So the rest of mankind, these 4 sins will be rampant during this part of the tribulation period. Now, listen to me. Think about this. An army, the army of the worst demons known to man. I mean, in the entire universe, they produced fear in man, in mankind. They were afraid. They were terrified. They wanted to die. But the things that were happening did not produce repentance, where they turned away from that and turned to the living God. I mean, despite half the world being dead, all the torment, man, all the suffering, despite the judgments of the Jewish, 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching and the angel flying through the universe or this atmosphere preaching the everlasting gospel. Man, they just did not, the rest of mankind did not repent. Why? One reason, the sick, sad, fallen heart of man. That's the reason, loved one. Listen, we all inherited that sick, sad, fallen heart from Adam, didn't we? Oh, gosh. How dark, you ever think about how dark is the heart? How deep into darkness will that kind of heart take you? There's no depth to it. There's no end to the darkness of that. You know, we hear it all the time. If we just change our environment for our kids or this or that or change the or alleviate the circumstances, everything's going to be okay. No. Everything in life, saved and unsaved, everything in life begins right here in the heart, the inner man. Amen? All of it. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, he said, those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. They make a man unclean. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders, adulteries, fornications, false witnesses, thefts, and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, you want to be around someone, listen to what they say. Because whatever comes out of their mouth is an accurate gauge of whatever is in their heart. One of the most revealing scriptures of why people will not repent is found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Let me read it to you. God says the heart, meaning the inner man, the real you, the old fallen person, okay? The heart is deceitful. Think about that. Deceitful. It's treacherous. Above all things, above everything else in life, it is the heart, he said. And the heart is desperately wicked or literally incurably sick. Who can know it? God says, well, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Listen, we have to have a new heart. We have to have the new birth. Amen? Oh, thank God for that. Now listen, in the great tribulation period, the call of hell, loved one, is going to be almost irresistible. It's going to be horrible. Do you know that in Revelation, you can look at it later, Revelation 13, 8, it tells us something, that in all of the earth, only two people will be worshiped. One will be Almighty God, and the other will be the Antichrist. Think of that. Oh, the whole world will worship the beast, okay? And they will cry out, who's able to make war with the beast? And I'm going to tell you, if a person doesn't know Jesus Christ, hell is calling. Hell's call today is not irresistible because we live in the day of God's grace, don't we? And boy, we can come to Christ. William Barclay, I'm closing, but listen carefully. William Barclay said this, the most terrible situation in life is when the Almighty God is powerless to gain entry into the citadel of the human heart. For God has given men the terrible responsibility of being able to lock their hearts against God. What a thought. What a thought is that? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're a first-time visitor, or maybe someone invited you to church to this early service. Maybe you're listening on the radio right now. Maybe you're tuning in live from anywhere in the world. I thank God that you have. But if you don't know Jesus, you're going to have a hard time, not only in this life, but in eternity. And eternity is a long time. You know, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you've never asked him to say, Lord, take over my heart, like David cried out, oh God, create in me a clean heart, oh God. The word create is Hebrews bara. David said, I don't want my heart anymore. I want a brand new heart. I want you to take my heart away and create something, a new heart. I don't want my heart. It's filthy. It's stained. It's dirty. I want a brand new heart. That's what the new birth does. God will give you a brand new heart, brand new life, a brand new beginning. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come down to the pulpit, but you have to lift up your hand high. God bless you. That's right. You have to lift it high and put it right back down. Anyone this morning say, Bill, that's me. You have to lift it high so I can see it. I'm old, remember? Yes, God bless you. I see that. Anyone else say, I want Christ. I want to be sure. I want to know that I'm saved. Last call, anyone else before we pray? God bless you back there. I see that. Anyone else before? Father, you saw the hands, and those hands represented their heart. That was a cry of faith saying, Lord, I want Christ to be my Lord. Maybe you're listening live right now, and you're saying the same things, and here's the deal then. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And church, help me pray right now. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I lifted my hand to you, Father. I want a new heart. I want a new beginning. I want a new life. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And Father, I believe in my heart you raised him from the dead. Lord, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, Amen.
Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues tomorrow, so please join us if you can. And we want to thank you for spending this time with us. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.